Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Chapel out in the West Texas desert. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
I will exalt you, the Lord is God. Thing is set up. We've got a conference coming up soon, and I'm praying that it's going to be a very profitable conference for everyone. For those that can make it here and those that cannot but are going to be listening by satellite or internet or radio or however you hear it. Today I want to go over a little something that should be basic to every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Before I start, I want to remind you that Jesus said, "By this shall they know you're my disciples, for your love one toward another or for another." That doesn't matter if you're a member of the Fisherman Ministry or not. It doesn't matter what church you go to. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you're seeking to follow him, then you are a disciple. And therefore, this pertains to you. If you're none of these things, if you're not a Christian, or you're not seeking to follow the Lord, then what are you even doing listening to this? But I believe because you are listening, you want to know the truth. 13 verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." He's saying here very simply, it doesn't matter whether he's speaking in the human language that you're listening to me speak in now, which is English, or whether he speaks in tongues, which is a heavenly language. If it's not with love, agape love, he might as well just be beating a cymbal or just blowing a horn or banging on a piece of metal or something, because it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. I've known people, some of the most hateful people you'd ever want to see in your life, calling themselves Christians, praying tongues for hours. Pray the paint off the walls. Didn't mean a thing. Not a thing. And though I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and I have not charity, I'm nothing. I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? If I can say to that mountain, be moved, and it moves. If I can heal by a word every single person that is sick that I see. If I had the faith to walk into a hospital and say, everybody be well, come on out. And they'd all get up and walk out, including the dead. But I don't have love, that agape love, for my brothers and sisters. It's nothing. It goes back to where they said to Jesus, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils in thy name and in thy name done many marvelous works? And he said, I profess unto them, get thee away from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And you do all these things. God said you can. Jesus said, if you believe on him, the works that he did, you can do also even greater works. I've seen examples of it. I've seen examples in my own ministry of the greater works. But without the love, the agape love of God for my brothers and sisters, I will end up in that group where he says, get thee away from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I look around in the ministry today. I look at the churches. I look among Christians. I see a lot of filios love. I don't see much agape love. I see a lot of excitement and praise the Lord here and there, but I don't see any depth. Most Christians today that I see and I run into and I talk to, they're like a lake that's 3 miles wide and a quarter of an inch deep. Looks good on the surface. Don't try to swim in it. You'll break your neck. And the first time the sun comes out good and hard, it's gone. And though I bestow all my goods, now this one's getting down to the wallet and the personality. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If I don't love you with agape love, then I might have just give it up. But wait a minute. There's another option. Maybe instead of giving it up, what I should do is learn to love you with agape love. But what is agape love? How do you learn to love with agape love? Well, let's find out. It's important. See, I find that there's only two things that you got to really get right. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor, that's your brothers and sisters in Christ, as yourself. And you got to love them with that agape love. These are the two things. The rest is, you don't worry about. It's just show anyway. I don't eat meat on Friday. So what? The animal might like that, but doesn't do any good for you. Well, I don't eat pork. Great, the pigs love you. But God them won't have nothing to do with you. So let's find out a couple things. Charity suffered long and is kind. What does that mean? Charity suffered long. Basically means to put up with your sorry butt as long as it takes. As long as it takes. And be kind in the process. See, that's against human nature. You have brothers and sisters that are just bug the pure living daylights out of you. You just want to reach out and strike them. Or you wish maybe a rock would fall out of the sky and land on them. Squash them. Or you want to just get up and smack them. My mother said sometimes, I just like to smack you silly. I wish I'd have thought about it at the time. I'd say, I wish I could smack you smart. I would have gotten in a lot of trouble. I think the Lord has smacked me smart a couple of times. It just needed every now and then to rejuvenate the smart part. The silly part is there already. Suffered long. Puts up with people. And is kind to them in the process. Now, how do you, and I don't want any hands raised. I already got my opinions. You got yours. But what are the, how do you do with this one? How are you when it comes to people that bug you and you just, they just get you under your skin and you don't like something about them? Are you kind to them and long-suffering with them? You do what I used to do and just find another place to be. I used to say, I love my mother. We get along great. As long as there's 1,000 miles between us. God bless her. Charity envieth not. It doesn't envy other people. The hard thing about being me in this ministry is I have to practice this with every one of you. And in the process of practicing this with every one of you, people, some of you envy others, thinking that I'm rewarding them for being bad, when in effect, I'm doing the first one, suffering long and being kind. So they look at me and they say, well, he lets them get away with all this stuff. No, I'm not. God is. Just like he lets you get away with all your crap. I got my crap, you got your crap. Just because my crap isn't the same color as your crap, don't mean it ain't crap. And God puts up with you, and he puts up with me, and he's kind in the process. And if we're going to be like Christ, we have to do the same thing with one another. Doesn't vaunt itself. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity, agape love, doesn't go around telling everybody how smart they are. What's the Bible say? The fool is known by the multitude of his words. Some of the most educated people that I've ever seen in the world are dumbest people I've ever met. We're not talking about Steve. He's pretty smart. Some things. I'm smart in some things, but not everything. See, if I judge Steve about by my knowledge, he'd be a dummy. And if I was judged by Steve's knowledge, I'd be stupid. So whether I'm a dummy or he's stupid, a dummy and I'm stupid, what difference does it make if we know Christ? That's all we need to know.
Amen.
All I need to know about you is that you know Jesus. And if you're trying to serve him, then I'm all for you. If he's number one on your list, I'm there with you. But if he's not number one on your list, what am I to do with you? I know there are people who look at me and say, he doesn't love his family. I love my family. My natural family. I love them. But they don't make my Lord number one on their radar. Now, if I go to them and treat them with Philios love, I'm helping them go to hell. I'm paving the way and putting the lines on the road and saying, welcome to hell. And calling it heaven. When I talk to them about the truth and they don't want to hear it, then I find something else to do. And someone else to talk to. And my prayer is that one day they might get it. They just might get it. Look at what Steve and Robin went through with their mother. But at the end, she got it. She got it. And if they hadn't stood firm and stood fast in the word and in the truth and in the faith, there'd be no doubt where their mother would be right now. She'd be in hell. And if I hadn't done the same for my mother, she'd be in hell. And if I hadn't done the same for my stepfather, he'd be in hell. And I did the same for my dad, but I don't think it did any good. So I don't know. All I can do is hope. If you are loving people with the agape love, you don't vaunt yourself over people. You don't pretend to be better than they are. And you're not all puffed up thinking you're great and you're wonderful and the rest of people are just stupid. Now, if you have any of these problems, learn to get rid of them. Don't ask God to get rid of them for you. He won't. He'll give you the strength to do it if you ask Him. But it's a decision you have to make, and it's something you have to do. You have to change your mind. And you have to desire His will. I pray every day, Lord, help me to want to do Your will. And give me the strength to do it. And it seems that no sooner than I pray that prayer, my mind switches off to something that ain't right. And I have to kick it back in His mind again. I remember a preacher telling me one day when I preached something like that, he said, oh, you should never tell the people that. I said, why not? Well, they'll find out you're human. And then they won't listen to you. I said, I got news for you. I am human. And they don't listen to me. They're not the ones I'm looking for anyway. Because the ones that have the Spirit of God will hear the word and know it's true. They'll know the word is true when they hear it. So many people today are not Christians because they hear the BS preached in the pulpits and the BS preached by the so-called Christians. And they just walk their way. I mean, they know it's BS. They don't even believe God is real or Jesus is real. And it's not because of the atheists that they believe that. It's because of Christians they believe that. Some of you that are listening are at fault. Or have been at fault. I don't want to be one of those that are at fault. You know, one of the armor, parts of the armor of God is loins girded with truth. Jesus is the truth. Now, I don't think anybody would like to be in a public place and have their pants dropped down. Especially if they were commando. Might be embarrassing. I'll stop there. A belt holding your pants up is a useful thing. You don't have to worry about your pants falling out. You got a belt on. Amen? Amen. So if you always stick to the truth, you don't have to worry about being embarrassed later. That's truth in the gospel, truth in the Lord. Truth to one another in all things. Does not behave itself unseemly. I don't like that one. Unseemly. Goofy. one should not do, maybe going to places one should not go. Seeking not her own, not looking for your own way. You want God's way. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's quite a list. And I went through all of them and all the ramifications. I wouldn't let anybody else preach today. They already taken up more time than I planned. Not that it matters. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall pass and be done away. I got news for you. Let's go on down. See, most people stop right there and say, well, see, that's tongues aren't for today. Prophecy isn't for today. Well, let's go a little further. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Who's he talking about, face to face? Who's he talking about? Jesus. We don't see him clearly right now, but now, at the time, we'll see him face to face. Amen. That's the perfect that comes. When that which is perfect, Jesus, comes, you're not going to need prophecy anymore. You're going to know it all anyway. You're not going to need tongues anymore because you'll understand at all times. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. That's what we're heading for. That's what we're wanting to get to. But you cannot get there without the agape love of God operating in you. It's not a natural thing. It's not natural. The flesh hates it. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, and if you've given your life to him, then you can do it. And you can want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, then you might want to consider whether you've actually given your life to Christ. That's all I got to say.
Just Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn to Ephesians 4, verse 1. This is Paul, and he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, first of all, before we go on, I just want to, I've highlighted this many times in the past, but I think it bears highlighting again. When it's referring to Paul being a prisoner of the Lord, it's not referring to him being in jail. Naturally. He obviously went to jail a bunch of times. It's referring to the fact that Jesus was his jailer. Paul was not free to go do his own thing. Every time Paul tried to go do his own thing, what happened? The Lord got him back to do what he wanted him to do. Now, how would you like to live that way? How would you like to live your way, your life that way, where you were indeed the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you want to know why he does that? Because Paul was but a man, just like me, like Corey, like Richard, like Megan, all of us. We're not superhuman. We're not gods. We're but men. But Christ called Paul to be an example. He put his word in Paul. He made Paul know his word so that he could teach others how to walk in it. Not many chose to follow. Most chose to find fault. One way, manner, shape, or form. They didn't get that it wasn't about Paul. It was about Jesus. And it was about Jesus, and Jesus had made Paul his prisoner for the Gentiles. That the Gentiles could come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now watch, let's keep going on. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, as you go down in Ephesians, down to verse 11, you find out these vocations. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those are vocations, kind of like auto mechanic, lawyer, what have you. All right? In the Lord, those are our vocations. And we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Richard was talking about charity. Without charity, you cannot walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. But with charity, you can do all things. Amen? Now let's continue on. Watch this next verse. Ooh, man, this next verse is rough. Because this is how it's telling you how to walk worthy of it. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, Richard just went through some stuff about long suffering, right? And he went through a little bit about forbearing one another in love, right? Putting up with one another in these things and being kind in the midst of it. All right, he went through that. But look at that first part, because you cannot do the second part without the first part. With all lowliness. You know what the word lowliness means there? It doesn't mean a false opinion of oneself. It means you actually know who in the hell you are. And there ain't much to look to. You see yourself as you actually are. See, when we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ knowing we are nothing. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. Megan, down in Vermont, we sing a song. I don't know if you guys sing it up here. It says, I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. I despise my own behavior. I find then what? That I'm still a man in need of a Savior. Are you still a man in need of a Savior? I am. Every day I am a man in need of a Savior. Every single day. And you know what that does? See, you cannot minister the gospel unto another unless you have to depend and live by the promise of the gospel yourself. You can't. See, in pride, which is the way in which we have generally done things, when we think we can do it and I'm good enough and I'm this, then I'll go do it. That's not how it works. When it's talking about with all lowliness means you go forth and do it knowing you are nothing. If Christ does not show up, you're going to be the biggest idiot that there's ever been. Because without him, you know you can do nothing. But with him, you can do all things. Not only the things that he did, but greater things than he did. Because he is beautiful for every situation you encounter. He's beautiful for every situation the person you're ministering to is encountering. He's beautiful for every situation that can ever arise. There is not a situation that can arise that he is not beautiful for. There is not one. And so because of that, you can engage the situation, knowing that it is too big and too tall for you, because it's not too big and too tall for him. So with all lowliness and meekness. See, one of the things about meekness, and this was very important. See, remember I talked about Paul being a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Paul said things to people, though, that they didn't like, didn't he? In fact, he seemed to have just this uncanny knack for making people not like him. I mean, isn't that what the Apostle Paul's ministry was like? Everywhere he went, did the people fall down and they go and the televisions would watch him and the news would talk about the exalted Paul has arrived. Is that what happened? Or did they were like, this is the guy who's turned the world upside down. No, the world is upside down. He was simply teaching them what is right side up. That's all he was doing. The world hated him for it. Hated him for it. And everybody and everyone around you, and I got to tell you this, everybody and everyone around you is going to be saying, well, that guy's an idiot. That guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's what they're going to do. That's what they did with Jesus. That's what they did with Paul. That's what they do. But Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Then how can you not believe what his prisoner says? He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you. He was the example. Paul says multiple times, at least three times in the letters of Paul, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now, let's continue on here because I wanted to get to something. And I know we don't have a lot of time. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. You know, endeavoring takes effort. And one thing real quick I just realized I skipped over with respect to meekness and about this thing of not wanting to listen to the prisoner of Jesus Christ is that meekness is easily receives those things from the prisoner of Jesus Christ. See, pride rebels and comes up with justifications and casts off and comes up with 1,000 excuses for why the simple thing that's asked is not right and too much and inconvenient and frustrating and pisses me off and shouldn't be asked and why does he do that? Now, do we hear those kinds of things? Does that ever happen? Does that ever happen? I mean, out here at the ranch, does that kind of thing ever happen with anybody here? Do I ever see this go on ever? Just all I have to do is wake up in the morning and meet somebody and I see it going on. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to go anywhere. It happens all the time. All the time. In a look, in an answer, in a response, in an action. It happens all the time. The meekness is not present. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The bond of peace is the gospel. Now I'm going to turn to something real quick because I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to read these and you guys can go look at them yourselves another time. But I want to hit on this because Davey was talking about being long-suffering. He was talking about being kind in the midst of being long-suffering. He was talking about standing for the truth, even if people don't like it. He was talking about how he loves, that is, agape, his family, even though his family, I can tell you, doesn't speak a single word of him that speaks of him as being human. I mean, every negative thing that could ever be piled on an individual, you know this, Ann, is piled on him. It towers up to the heavens. Towers up to the heavens, like the Great Pyramids. I mean, it just, in their mind, there is nobody who is worse. There is nobody who's ever walked on this earth. There's no sibling who could be a worse sibling, a worse brother, a worse son, a worse this, a worse that, a worse the other thing. If you read over in Isaiah, he talks about how this will happen. He says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Jesus said it too. He said, if they called me of the devil, what do you think they're going to call you? Same thing. But over here in John 7, I want to show you the opposite. I mean, Matthew 7, the opposite of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. This is the opposite of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of the peace. See, when you recognize and see yourself as a man who's in need of desperately in need of a Savior, and yet God has forgiven you, and God has, in His grace, covered you, and God has extended His mercy unto you, then when you look at others, the stuff they do seems small. Seems really small and piddly. And what happens is the issues people have, the concern of yours is not about, you know, vaunting yourself about how you're not like them and you're not like that and why do they ever do these things. It's about seeking to assist them to come into that place where they can walk more in the blessings of God because they're walking in His way rather than in that way that is unprofitable for them. You're actually more concerned about them than you are about yourself. And then you can be profitable. But see, when you're going around and everybody's talking about, well, this person does that, and that person does this, and the reason why he didn't do this is because of that, and the reason why we didn't get this done is because of that. When that's what's going on, I can tell you, the Lord's not in any of that. He's not in any of that. Is that how He walked around? When we read the Scripture, is that what we hear? We Jesus walking around. Oh, man, I can't believe there's people like that. Ah, that John, man, he's just doing this. Ah, that James, Peter. Yeah. Is that what he was like? That was what they were like, just like we are, okay? But it wasn't what he was like. Is he the example? He's the example. And we likewise have an example. And the thing is, all the nonsense, all the stuff, look, we got to get shed of that. The grace of God has been extraordinary here at the ranch. I mean, the things that have happened here, notwithstanding the issues on our part, are extraordinary. I mean, can you imagine, Ann, 10 years ago, 12 years, we'd have a chapel like this? We'd have a minister's convention every year. You'd have a kitchen like that over there, that you'd have the different things that we have, that people would be coming out and we're building. I mean, you could not have imagined that this would be the case. And yet it's happened. And everybody here has contributed to it. Amazing. It's actually really an amazing thing. There's not a person sitting in here, except for maybe my children, if you will, who has not contributed something here. Not a one. Everybody has. Praise God.
Your children have contributed? Sure they have. They've given us some stuff to do.
There you go. But you follow what I'm saying? So look, the Lord in His grace has yet been with us. and as yet accomplished things, but it's not to justify us in all that other jerky stuff. All right, it's not to justify us in that. So let's get rid of the jerky stuff. Amen. And let's go forward in love.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Well, praise God. And we thank you, Lord, for the words that were delivered to us today. We thank you, Lord, for being with us as we walk out into this world and remind us, Lord, of these things. Bring them back to our consciousness as we go out and allow the world to try to drag us away. Father, we thank you for being with all those that are traveling right now. And we thank you, Lord, for watching over this ranch and all those that are here. And we thank you, Lord, for all those that will hear these messages and come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.